Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, and this is the House of Ephraim Show today. And we do have with us today, from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Sister Donna Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the corn patch, and you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv. And we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service. And we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Sister Donna Decker.
Passover, Pesach in Hebrew. We know, as we were studying, that the first day of Passover is very important. But tonight we're going to look at the seventh day of Passover. It is an important day as well. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5 through 8. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall not do any several work therein. But you shall offer an offering for a fire unto the Lord 7 days, and in the seventh day is a holy convocation, and you shall do no work therein. So the first day of Pesach and the seventh day are Sabbaths. Okay? There's no work to be done on the first day and on the seventh day. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14 through 17. And this day shall be unto you as a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And you shall keep it a feast for an ordinance forever. And you need to have that underlined. Forever. Throughout your generations. 7 days you will eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. That means you can cook. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day that I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, therefore shall you observe this day in your generations for an ordinance forever. Here he said it again. Forever. It wasn't something that ended. It is something that we are still to be doing. And we will continue to do. When Israel kept Passover, if you look down through the history that you read in the Bible, when Israel kept Passover, miraculous things happened. When the great army from the north comes down to attack Israel, it will be on Passover, because God delivers Israel on the seventh day of Passover. Let's go on to chapter 13 of Exodus. We're going to look at chapter 13, starting in verse 4, and we're going to go through 10. This day came you out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give to thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, and thou shalt keep this service in that month. 7 days you will eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day it shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. When prophet taught us about keeping Passover, he said we are to look at this as we were brought out of Egypt, as we were there. Why? Because our forefathers were there. And we were there. We came out of Egypt. We came out. The Lord delivered us. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and a memorial between thy eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season, year to year. And there it again is, we are commanded that we are to keep it. Numbers chapter 28. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 16. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. The first day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no manner of work of therein. And you shall offer a sacrifice by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord, 2 young bucklets and 1 ram and 7 lambs of the first year, and they shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be a flour mingled with oil. 3/10 deal shall you offer for a bullock, and 2/10 deal for a ram. 7/10 deal shall thou offer for every lamb throughout the 7 lambs. These were being made as an atonement for their sin. And Yeshua came. He became, as we studied a few weeks ago, Yeshua came as that Passover lamb, as that sacrificial lamb, and he died on Passover. He died and was crucified on the cross, and he was sacrificed as a lamb of God without blemish, without blemish. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters was a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. This is talking about when they had left Egypt, and then they got to the Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds. They got there, and they could hear the chariots of the Egyptian army, and they could see the dust that the horses and the chariot wheels caused to come up into the air, and it thundered. It sounded like thunder as those horses were running towards them, and there they were, trapped between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. There they were. There they were. God delivers Israel. And every time God delivers Israel, there's a miracle on one end and there's destruction on the other. You think about that first night of Passover. They put the blood of the sacrificial lamb on their doorways. They were told that they were to eat it. They were given specific instructions of what they were to do. And as they did that, the death angel came and the Egyptians lost the firstborn, but not the Israelites. God passed over them when he saw the blood. And here they are. They're at the Red Sea, and a miracle is about to happen. They are about to cross through on dry land. But that miracle will be destruction to the Egyptian army. We have chosen over the years in the denominational churches, we have chosen to forget about the fact that we are following a Jewish Messiah. We are following Yeshua, who was a Jew, who kept the law, who kept the feast. And we are to keep Passover, just as he did, just as our forefathers did. We are to keep it. Well, Sister Donna, I don't know that I'm a Jew. Remember what you were taught? When you received Yeshua, you were grafted in to the vine. You became Jewish right there. You are. Whether you can go get your DNA done and find out you are or not, you are grafted in. You became. And what does that scripture say? It says, don't get prideful about it, because God can take the ones that were lopped off, and if they start to do his law, he can graft them right back in. Yes, he can. Let's go back into Exodus chapter 13, one chapter back. Exodus 13, we're going to start in verse 17. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war. I want you to think about what is being said here. Unless they repent when they see war and they return to Egypt, there was a quicker way to get to the promised land. There was a shortcut, but God took the long way around because he said, lest they, when they see war, God said, they're going to see war and they're not going to like it. They had been slaves, not warriors. They had been servants, not fighters. How many of us have looked at the promises of God and we think, oh my, I want all those. You know, I remember the first time I saw where it said the blessings will hunt you down. I'm like, I got my hand up. I volunteer for that. But you see, God said, pre-adventure, when you see war, you return back to the world. You return back to the way you were because you don't know how to battle in the spirit. And you don't want the promise bad enough to fight the battle. And he knew the Israelites would not want to fight. And we know they didn't. Let's go on to verse 18. And God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Two chapters farther. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. We like that scripture. We love to stand on that scripture. God will heal us. He will not put any of the diseases of the world upon us because he is the Lord that heals us. But there is something that we need to understand. There is a prerequisite that we have to keep. We have to diligently, say diligently, we have to diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord God. Let me tell you something. The majority of Christians don't even know the voice of the Lord God, let alone hearken to it. I didn't know God's voice for years. I didn't know his voice. So how could I hearken to him when I didn't know his voice? I hadn't spent enough time studying his word. I had not spent enough time praying and being in his presence to know his voice. But he said, if you will diligently hearken to my voice, if you will do what is right in my sight, if you will give ear to my commandments, if you will keep my statutes, then I will put none of the diseases upon you. This was all done and told to them on the seventh day of Passover. 2 Samuel chapter 22. This right here is why we spend so much time trying to teach you how to hear God, trying to teach you how to get his word from your head to your heart, trying to teach you to keep the festivals, to keep the covenant, to keep the laws and the statutes of God. That is why we spend so much time, because it is health to you to do it. But if you don't know, if you don't know the voice of God, if you don't know his commandments, if you don't know to keep Shabbat, then you don't have part of the promise. Like I said, let's go to 2 Samuel, verse 22, or chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 1. This is lengthy. We're going to read 51 verses. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now let me tell you something. David had been chased for years by King Saul. He had been chased for years, and he was so excited because God had delivered him out of the hand of the government that day. And he sang this song. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower, my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. Saul wanted to kill King David. King Saul wanted to kill him. God had saved David from violence, and he's singing about it. Verse 4, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the ways of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. When sorrows of hell compassed about me, the snare of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. And my cry did enter to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. The coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherubim and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions around about him, and dark waters and thick clouds of skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomforted them. and the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundation of the world was discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also to a large place, and he delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Why? Because David kept the law of the Lord. And the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. You see, God was there when David had the opportunity to kill Saul. And even those who were with him said, there's your chance. God's given you a chance to kill him. And he said, no. And he only cut off the hem of Saul's robe. And then he even repented for doing that. He said, I will not touch God's anointed. God saw that. God saw that. Verse 22. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Do you realize David could have said, look, God, you had the prophet anoint me to be the king of Israel, and now I'm being chased by Saul, and he wants to kill me. God, what's wrong? I quit. God, if this is the way you want to use me and treat me, I quit. He could have got angry with God, but he didn't. Kept his hands clean and his heart pure, and he still praised and worshiped the Lord God and served him the way he knew to do. He said, I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. Verse 23, for all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his eyesight. God is a deliverer, but he will not deliver those who are not walking in him. Because David had kept the statutes, God delivered him. Verse 26, with the merciful thou shalt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou shalt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. With the forward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. With the afflicted people thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. The haughty are those who are following God, man's doctrine instead of God's laws. The haughty are those who get prideful. God will bring them down. 33, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon high places. He teaches my hands to war. He teaches my hands to war. Remember when Prophet Deckard began to teach us how to pray and bind in the spirit, how to do battle, how to set the angels? He was teaching our hands to war in the spirit. And he says, you have taught my hands to war. So a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. 38. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and I turned not again until I had consumed them. I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise, yea, they have fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with the strength to battle. Them that rose up against me, thou hast subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. And they looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. They, even his enemies, were even crying out to God, but God didn't answer them. Why? Because they weren't keeping the law. 43. Then did I beat them as small as dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and I did spread them abroad. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be the head of the heathen. A people that I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they will be obedient to me. Strangers shall submit themselves. Excuse me. Verse 46. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avenges me, that bringeth down people under me, that bringeth me forth from my enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on a high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Among the heathen I will sing praises to thy name. He is a tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and unto his seed forevermore. David was rejoicing. The battle had finally been won. It was over. God was with David, because he was a servant of God, and he kept the laws and statutes of God. God blesses Israel, not because they are his children, but he blesses them because they keep his law. God doesn't bless you because you are an Ephraimite. God doesn't bless you because of who you are. God blesses you because of what you do. You keep the covenant. You keep Passover. You keep the seventh day of Pesach. God delivers. God delivers. Let's look at Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And in the day that God created man, and in the likeness of God, he created him. You and I were created in the likeness of God. Now let me explain that to you. I have three children. Those children have a look about them that you can look at them, especially my girls, and you can say, there is a resemblance. There is a likeness. They look just like you. There's no doubt that those three children are your children because they look like you. And they have traits about themselves that they act like me. We were created in the likeness of God. And when the powers of darkness look at you, they should see God. They should see the resemblance, the likeness. Let's go to the next chapter, Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because Noah was walking in righteousness. God was about to destroy the entire world with a flood. But Noah was walking in righteousness, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah kept Passover. Abraham kept Passover. Lot kept Passover. They all kept a type of Passover. And we studied that a few weeks back. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, we're going to start in verse 8 through 15. Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. God said, go write it down. And this is a rebellious people. Uh-oh. This is a rebellious people. Are you rebellious? Well, I'm not going to eat unleavened bread for no 7 days. I got to have my bread. Really? Really? Well, I'm not keeping Sabbath. Well, it's the only day I have to run errands. How many times have I heard that one? Rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. There was a problem. There was rebellious children that would not listen. Hadn't changed much, has it? Verse 10, which say to the seers, that would be the prophets, see not unto the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Don't tell us the world's coming to the end. Don't tell us about the judgments of God about to happen. No, tell us that everything's going to be fine. Verse 11, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Man, they just don't want to hear the truth. Hasn't changed, has it? Wherefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and you trust in oppression and perverseness, and you stay therein. You stay in oppression. You stay in perverseness. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you a breach ready to fall, swelling out of a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He will not spare, so there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth or to take water without of the pit. He was shredded until there's nothing left to salvage. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, and rest shall you be saved. Well, Sister Donna, I wasn't taught to keep Passover, neither was I. But in returning, and when I returned to my Jewish roots, when I returned to what Torah had to say, and I began to rest in Shabbat, I began to rest in keeping the covenant. In returning and rest shall you be saved. Let me tell you something. My life changed. The blessings began to overtake me. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. In quietness and confidence. Can you imagine standing there at the edge of the Red Sea? And there is this ocean of water. And you can hear the thunder of the Egyptian army coming across towards you. You can see the dust. Could you stand there in quietness and confidence in the Lord God that He will deliver you? He delivered them the night that the death angel came and killed the firstborn. It had just happened a few days ago. Could you stand there in quietness and confidence in your God? Because that is your strength. But Isaiah says, you would not. You would not trust God. Quietness and confidence revolves around the living Word of God, around His law, around keeping His judgments and His statutes. Israel, they became arrogant and self-assured at points and times only when they kept God's law. And they knew that God would deliver them. Remember one time, I don't remember what sermon, but prophet said, when you know God's behind you, you have a confidence about you. And that is true. That is true. When Jericho came down, it was on Passover. The blast of the ram's horn was the blast of Passover. It was setting them free from the bondage. Joshua would not have marched around the walls of Jericho if it had not been Passover. And they marched around Jericho how many days? 7 days of Passover. And on the seventh day of Passover, when God delivers, He delivered them from Jericho. And the walls fell down. The walls fell down. The Egyptian army and their horses died in the Red Sea on the seventh day of Passover. Noah went into the ark and the flood began on the seventh day of Passover. Yeshua or the Lord fed the people meat in the wilderness on the seventh day of Passover after they had grumbled that they were tired of the manna. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 1 through 12. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. How many of you can say, I've been ignorant? I can. I have been ignorant. I did not know. I was not taught how to keep Pesach, how to keep Sukkot, how to keep Shabbat. I was ignorant. How that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea on the seventh day. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. And listen to this. And that rock was Christ. You and I can drink of the spiritual drink. We can eat of the spiritual drink of Christ. Remember when he was at the Seder, that Last Supper, as we call it in the Christian community? But it was a Seder. And he said, this is my body that's broken from you. Take and eat, as he handed them the matzah. And then he picked up the cup and he said, this cup is the covenant of my blood. Drink ye all of it. You and I partake during the Seder. We partake of that communion of Christ, just as they did in the wilderness. Wow. Wow. See how God tied it all together? Isn't God awesome? Let's go on verse 5. We're in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. What are we supposed to be? Father pleasers. But God wasn't well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our example. God's saying, look, don't do that. But we do it anyway, don't we? These were our example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and they rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day. How many? 23,000 in one day. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur. Oh, surely, Sister Donna. He's getting down to murmuring? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world is to come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We need to understand that the examples we read in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, they were for our admonishment. They were for us to read and know, don't do that. opportunity, and they lost out. You and I, Ephraim, we have an opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't miss out. Don't let your flesh beat you out of this. Don't let it happen. Don't let discord and judgment beat you out. Don't let being rebellious and stubborn and stiff-necked beat you out of this. They were Israelites, but it beat them out. They didn't make it to the promised land because of their unbelief, because of their unwillingness to war for the promise. Don't do the same. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that is spoken by the prophet Elias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That same John had his remnant of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, I don't mind the honey part, but I can't imagine eating the locusts. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Remember how we talked about that Rome had gotten rid of the pure Kohanim, the Levitical priesthood? They had put in what? The ministers that would mix the Roman Empire with the religion of Judaism. And when John came, they flocked out to him because he was of the pure Kohanim. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those that had been put in place by the Roman government, when they came to his baptism, he said to them, "O generation of vipers! Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" John understood. They were mixing the holy with the profane, and it wasn't going to work. We in the Christian community mix the holy with the profane, and it did not work. Verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance." Don't come out here and just give lip service and say, "Baptize me too." I remember when Prophet and I was going around the U.S. and he would talk about the bird flu and the plague that's coming. And at the end of the weekend, he would tell them, "Come up here and I'm going to anoint you." And he would pray on them, and they'd put a drop of oil on them to protect them from the flu, from the pandemic. But he warned them. He said, "If you don't keep the covenant, all that will be is a little oil on your forehead. It won't do nothing." You have to come and have the fruit of repentance. Verse 9, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to be our father." Don't say within yourself, "I'm an Ephraimite." "For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." God wants us to live a righteous and holy life. Isha kaharamahad. Oh, shakaramahad. Usha kahar. Usha kahar. Kuriya bakaha. Nekarama. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Father, for being stubborn. Forgive us for being rebellious. Forgive us for being unwilling to fight for the promised land. Yeka! Yeka! Usheka! Nekarama! Yekarama! Kushika! There's somebody tonight, you have a heaviness. You have a heaviness in your lower parts, in your abdomen. You have a heaviness. I want you to put your hand there. Ishakai! 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 In the name of Yeshua! In the name of Yeshua, be healed. Oh, Karamaka. There it is. There it is. Angels, I send it forth. Ishaka. Ye Koromosha. Ye Karamoshaka. Let it run, Father. Let it run. Oh, karamai, 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 karamai. Karamai, 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 karamai. Thank you, Father. Now, if there's anyone else you have need of healing in your body, I want you to put your hand wherever it is in the name of Yeshua. Be healed. Oh, God. Oh, God. Ikaramokoho. Ne karamaha. There's somebody, something's going on with your head. In the name of Yeshua, be healed. Oh, karamaha. Ne koshika. Thank you, Father. Oh, shika. Thank you, Father. Oh, karamaha. Prophet Mark, I turn it back over to you.
Hey, thank you again so much. That's Donna Deckard, Mount Carmel, Illinois, Cradle of Hope Ministries. Again, you can get more information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. Get out there, do yourself a favor, find out what's going on here, and you won't be disappointed. So, again, you can also get more. All the tape series is out there on the website for you to get a hold of. I greatly encourage you to get all that. You can also email your prayer request to cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we'll be praying for your prayer request. Again, that's cradle@jewishprophet.com. Shalom. Until next week, remember, with God, all things are possible.
Adon Olam Asher Malach V'terem Kol Yetzir Nivra.